you've laid on Daniel's heart. This word is really precious to him. It's a revelation from you, and it's something, Lord God, that has really shaped his world. And I pray that your spirit will be upon him so that he can share his heart and your heart, and that we would have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to us as individuals, but more, Lord God, what he's saying to us as a church. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Cool. You can tell when people have been married for a long time because they spend more time dressing each other than the opposite. Anyway, God, it'll be a tough audience today. Right. So, in the Christian calendar, today is Pentecost Sunday. And strangely, this morning, I'm speaking about us being on mission with the Spirit. Last week, Stephen spoke on the abiding Spirit, which I did listen to, and I think it was an excellent message, a great foundation. I'm speaking this week, Julie's speaking next week, and I think it's a great foundation for us to launch from. So if you haven't heard it, I would encourage you to listen to it. So say this morning, I'm speaking on the Spirit. But before I get going, I want to ask you a question. How fast are you going? Right now, how fast are you going? Well, I don't know whether you're aware, but the earth that you are standing on, sitting on, is moving. It is currently moving, spinning, revolving at 1,600 kilometers per hour, roughly. Okay, that's quite fast. But not only that, you could move fast if you saw a spider. Yes, I know. Or a snake, mind you. This might be the one for the snake. Okay. So it's spinning at 1,600 kilometers an hour, but the Earth is moving around the Sun. Anybody know? 107,000 kilometers an hour. How come you're not windswept? Some of you are, but think about that, okay? The Earth is revolving at 1,600 kilometers per hour, and the Earth is moving around the Sun at 107,000 kilometers an hour. So how's that influencing your world today?
Mind blown.
Well, yes, okay, mind blown. But how's that, you go about your business, how's that impacting your world currently, the fact that that's happening?
No wonder it's windy.
Well, that's on top of, unless it's going counter, but yes, it is. But it doesn't, does it? But do you think you would know if it suddenly stopped? There would be a few consequences if it suddenly stopped. Why do you think it is that you don't know that the Earth is spinning at that speed, or you don't feel it in your daily life, but you would feel it if it stopped? Why do you think that's the case? Relativity? Physics, science, quantum physics, it's all that stuff out there. That's a really good answer. Oh, get the star. It's been happening all your lives. There's a saying, does a fish know that it's in water? Okay, does it? I mean, it's in water, that's all it's ever known. We are currently on a planet that's doing all of that stuff. But we only know when we actually get a bird's eye view and we kind of like get this sense, and science comes in and looks at the speed of everything and the, you know, the what happens, but we don't feel it necessarily in there. It's only because I've just told you that. I mean, you may have thought about it before. You may have done what I did and press Google, look at Wikipedia. Actually, there's some interesting articles out there about what happens if the Earth should stop. The whole shape of the Earth changes if it was to stop, because the speed it's moving at means it. Oh, sorry. Yes, I was going to preempt it by saying, for you to understand this message, or this part of the message, you do have to believe that the Earth is round and not flat. So I've lost some of you, maybe, hopefully not. Okay, now my own belief is that the work of the Holy Spirit is similar in nature. We often don't realize that the Spirit is at work, because it's actually all we've ever known. It's the Spirit, he, she, whatever you want to call the Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit is constantly at work. But we don't see or realize often that that is the case. And actually, Jesus says something about this in John 14. He says, "If you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate." Stephen spoke about that last week. If you want to find out what this advocate, the Holy Spirit, is like, find out about the first advocate, Jesus, and you'll see, you'll get an idea of the work of the Holy Spirit too. "We'll give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you." Now, it's an interesting tense it uses there, because it says that the world doesn't recognize him. It doesn't say that when the Spirit comes, the Spirit won't be recognized. It says the Spirit doesn't recognize, which means the Spirit's already at work for the Earth to recognize. Yeah? With me so far. Now, what I'm going to say next is my understanding of Scripture. A lot of today is, and that's it, because it's my journey and one that I've been on, and one that, you know, you've got your journey. And if we disagree, we've got Stephen, who's not here today, but Stephen can referee and give us what the actual truth is, being our professor and everything else. But, you know, you do need to listen, weigh it up, and if you don't agree, work out what you do believe, and that's perfectly okay. But it's clear from the Scripture that the Holy Spirit has been at work on earth since time began. In Genesis, we are told. What are we told about the way that the Holy Spirit's involvement in the creation of earth hovered over? See? In God's image, yes. I'm talking about specifically the work of the Holy Spirit at this time. Is there anywhere that it says he's no longer hovering? I personally believe, use whatever word you want, but personally, I believe that the Holy Spirit has never stopped working in creation. He is the breath of God. He is the Ruach, which is what we're told about, which, by the way, is a feminine name. I'm just saying, putting that out there, because there's people have lots of issues about the Godhead, but I just want to say that Ruach is a feminine name that is there. And if the Spirit holds life together. Personally, I believe if for a moment the Holy Spirit ceased to hold everything together, all life would cease. That's what I believe. I believe that Scripture can back that up. I'm not talking about that this morning, but that is what I believe. And you need to know that because of some of what I'm going to say in a bit. It is the Spirit that does, has, and always will draw people to God, hold everything together. He is the creative presence of God and God himself. He is the air we breathe. He is not recognized, though, as the scripture says, because we, and I'm including the world in that we're not looking for him. We don't see the Spirit at work in the natural day of things. It doesn't mean he's not at work. In the same way, it doesn't mean we're not revolving and spinning on this planet just because we don't experience it or see it. In the same way, the Holy Spirit is at work in mighty force. I mean, as I say, 107,000 kilometers an hour, something that powerful, and we don't always sense it. The Holy Spirit, whose breath was God's breath, breathing in and creating, that power is at force. Is it possible that we don't always see and understand and what the Spirit is doing? I believe so. This work of the Spirit is never ending, because if it stopped, all creation would cease. But it is clear from the words of Jesus that at Pentecost, there was a new work of the Spirit that happened, which is in addition to that work of the Spirit that is ongoing all the time. It's not different. It is the work of the Spirit, the creator, the power of the Spirit is always at work. But there was something when humanity fell from relationship with God that broke the relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And our relationship with the Holy Spirit was also broken at the same time. So our relationship, our walk with the Holy Spirit, it means that we can't see the Holy Spirit in action. We often don't see the Holy Spirit in action. But when Jesus died and rose again, it restored that whole relationship with the Spirit, as well as with, you know, with the Father, with the Son, the Holy Spirit. We're actually drawn in, as we've been talking about, drawn in to this dance of the Holy Spirit. We're included in it. So Jesus' death and resurrection ceased the separation between God and humanity. Humanity became God's temple, being able to be infilled by God's Spirit, not just the Spirit at work, but it's enabled us to be infilled by the Spirit of God. And that was just, again, made clear in the verse that we just read. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him, but you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. So there is a difference in that, in the scripture. There's a walking with, and then there is a infilling that happens as well. So I'm not going to spend too much time going through what happened at Pentecost, except as it relates to the birth and the mission of the church, which I'm just briefly going to touch on. It's important to note, though, that the followers were gathered together in one room. They were praying expectantly as Jesus had asked them to. It's important to note that they were a gathered community for the foundation of the church. It's really important to note that, because this is about the Spirit pouring on humanity, a group, not just individuals doing their own thing. This is something far bigger than that. This is about unity, about love, about the way that we relate with each other, the way that we forgive each other, the way that you have to have community for the full work of the Spirit to be seen and recognized. It's the only way. You don't need forgiveness if you are just working as one person. You don't need love in the same way if it's your a separate being. You can only need those things. You can only see those things in action when you're actually in community. And so it is really important that community was happening. So it was a corporate event. Yes, of course, it was empowered. It was It empowered and impacted individuals, but it was clear that it was about God's people together in unity. The Bible says in one accord, there was agreement together. And out of this, something happened at that time. Now, if you've been around church for a while, you'll probably know that our words, dynamic, there's a few words, stem from the Greek word dunamis, which I probably haven't pronounced correctly, but that's how it reads, so that's what I'm going to say, which unsurprisingly means power. It's an explosive power, though, and it's an explosive power with the ability to change the state of things. So God was able, through the dunamis power, Jesus was able to perform miracles. It's an explosive power, changing the state of things, that dunamis happened. It was the power that created the earth. So the word for the Spirit used at Pentecost tells us that it was this type of power that was released. But why? What happened? What happened when that dunamis power happened? What was the difference between what was already going on in with the Spirit, holding all life together, sustaining, and the dunamis power? And I'm talking aside from, read maybe the tongues, speaking tongues, tongues of fire, those kind of things. What actually happened to humanity when the Spirit was at work? This is the foundation of the church. They did leave the room. That's a very good point. It caused them to go out. So absolutely. What was happening was his eyes were opened. You know that verse that we read earlier about the fact that the world doesn't see? What's actually happening is this is the point, eyes were opened. You know, actually seeing, you can see as you're empowered with the Holy Spirit, you can actually see what the Spirit is doing as well. It's, the Spirit within you reveals, you suddenly see, oh, that's what the Spirit's doing. That's what the Spirit's doing. You can actually see, and your eyes are opened about who Jesus was, who Jesus is, about what he did on the cross, that he is the Son of God. Your eyes are opened with a completely fresh perspective. If any of you have watched The Matrix, it's like taking, I always forget which pill it is. Which pill is it? The red pill, okay. It's like taking the red pill with the Matrix. Suddenly, your eyes are opened to what reality is. The presence, this absolutely incredible power of the Holy Spirit, actually opens eyes for us to, not just for us, but also for, then it empowers us to testify to others, to be able to, and for their eyes to be opened. It's about opening eyes. It's no wonder that a lot of Jesus' time was spent opening eyes, physical eyes. And he was the first advocate. The second advocate comes, and spiritual eyes are suddenly opened as well. It's not a surprise at all. So 3,000 people on that first day were added to the number. 3,000 people. How did that happen? So there were 120 people gathered in the room, there or thereabouts. What actually happened that saw 3,000 people added to the number? Now, part of it was, already been mentioned, the fact that they left the room. Boldness, wisdom, the truth of the believers, moving through Acts, we see discernment on the leaders happening as well. The mission of the church pouring out onto others. More numbers being added. There were some order being brought with apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists. But what actually happened on that day, the Spirit is like a tsunami, cannot be stopped. The Spirit is at work, moving with incredible power, with or without us. It is like, as I say, a tsunami, unstoppable force, a chain reaction that has started. Yes, we have a part to play in it, but most of our part to play in it is catching up with what the Spirit is already doing, not trying to create opportunities for the Spirit to work. For us to truly be the people who are working in the mission of the church, we have to start by being filled with the Holy Spirit ourselves. It's the only way. It's the only way we will see what the Spirit is doing, but it's also the only way that we will have the boldness that's within us. It's only the way that we'll be able to walk in all truth. It's only the way that we will be able to pray for people and expect things to happen in their lives. It's the only way that we will be able to participate with the work of the Spirit is if the Spirit is working in us. End of story. It's the only way that that could happen. Now have a look at these words of Jesus from John 3. Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. The wind blows. Now think of the Spirit, the Ruach. The wind blows wherever it wants. Just as you can hear the wind but can't tell where it comes from or where it is going, so you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. You can't explain what the Spirit of God is doing. The Spirit of God is at work. And you can see the effects of the wind. You can see what the Spirit is doing in that regards, but you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. You're not supposed to understand that. So yes, we need to be born of the Spirit so that we can enter the kingdom of God. But also, it's imperative for the ministry of the church to help fan the flames. And what it's talking about here is by us testifying to Jesus whenever we see the Spirit at work. And the only way that we can do that is if we ourselves are filled with the Spirit. And that's what happened on that day, the day of Pentecost. There was a boldness that came upon them. There was an assurance. There was wisdom that came upon them as they were sharing sharing what they had seen. They were testifying to what they had seen. And people said, you know what? Yeah, okay. I can connect with that too. Now, if you've been asleep and maybe lost me somewhere along the time, I'm just going to quickly recap. We're getting there. The Spirit is at work in all creation, always has been, always will be. He is the creative force of the Godhead, being breathed by the Father, bringing life into being and sustaining it. He is and always has been at work, pointing all creation to the Father. This work he continues to do actively in the world today. Or the world doesn't recognize him, because they're not looking for him. They don't realize that that is the case, just as you are not aware that you are traveling at 1,600 kilometers an hour right now on a planet traveling at 107,000 kilometers an hour around the sun. And the second part is, at Pentecost, because of the work of Jesus on the cross, there is no longer any separation between God and humanity. And therefore, Jesus asks the Father to send another helper, another advocate to us, who brings the very presence of God living inside us, enabling us to enter the kingdom of God in community. The Spirit empowers us his church to join with the unimaginable power of God's Spirit to go into the whole world and tell people the good news that they are saved through what Jesus has done and that they must be born again. Everyone with me on that? Cool. Now, I don't think I've made you think too much. I think most of that is just maybe for some of you telling you what you already knew or maybe explaining it a little bit. But I want to give you a couple of things to ponder, mull over during the week, over lunch and such forth. Firstly, as we join with the Spirit on his mission, how do we know where he is working? How do you know where the Spirit of God is working? Fruit. Hang on a minute. You're not suggesting there can be fruit with people who aren't followers of God, are you? Really?
It's a journey.
So the work of the Holy Spirit, drawing all people, can bear fruit in people's lives, even though they're not aware what is happening. That's a radical thought, isn't it? James 1 tells us, I haven't got this up there, but it tells us that every good and perfect gift comes from God. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. So where we see these gifts, we can fairly assume that the Spirit of God is at work. And I would also say to you that this rule is true inside or outside the church. The Bible says, by your fruit you shall know them. And I would go as far to say, I think often you can see fruit in places that you kind of wonder, how on earth is fruit growing in those places? And you can't see fruit where you expect their fruit to be. And by the fruit particularly, we're told what the fruit of the Spirit is. We're told where there is love, where there is joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. If you see those things in operation, you can be fairly sure, particularly if you're seeing them in multiple ways, that the Spirit of God is at work in that place. And I would also suggest to you, even in a church where you are seeing that those things are not happening, I would question where the fruit of the Spirit is, where is the presence of the Holy Spirit, if that fruit is not being seen. And I think if you look around, if you want to ask any question, you know, if you actually want to look at a situation, if you want to find out about where somebody's at, even when you're looking through Facebook, for goodness sake, even if look at what's coming out of people, or out of a group of people, out of an administration, out of the government here or anywhere, out of the newspaper. Is there love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control? Or is it putting things down? Is it a negative thing? That's where you'll see where God is, or the Spirit of God is at work or isn't. Well, I believe he's at work everywhere, but where there is fruit, where there are good things happening, you'll see that. Second question. The 3,000 people who were added to the number at Pentecost, how were they added? And what I mean is what determined that they were added? Okay, you're told 3,000 people were added. Now, if you met those 3,000 people, what was the common denominator that got them included suddenly on that day, whereas the day before they hadn't been included? Would there still have been slave owners there? Would there have been people who were in affairs that they shouldn't be having? Would there be people who were tax collectors, who were, thieves? Would there be people who were gossips? Would there be people who were abusing others? I would say pretty much. I think if you looked at the church, the very first church, it wouldn't look much like our church. I think there's a danger with it. I'm not going to go into this because this is part of the question. I want you to think about this. Is we struggle just as Christians. You've heard me say this before, but the barriers that we put up to people, all that we're looking for, the difference with these people, I'll tell you what the difference is with these people, is they said yes to starting a journey. That's it. They said yes to start. They heard somebody say, you know what? This is who Jesus is. This is what's happened. Would you like to go on a journey exploring who he is? That's it. That's the church that we're founded on. That. And we then know, well, actually, no, you've got to have this, you've got to have that, and don't get me wrong, there's lots that's important, but at its fundamental start of the church, which is empowered by the Holy Spirit, all it is people saying, yeah, I'll go on a journey with you. That's the start of the church. And in some ways, that's what we're trying to get back to. I think there's been all kinds of stuff over history that is, I think that the connection between church and state has been a problem. I think there's been all kinds of things. That was never what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be a group of sinners who have allowed God to work in our lives, who are able to point to say to people, hey, this is what God has done for me. Do you want to go on this journey with me too? And yes, we're not called to judge. We're not called to all kinds of stuff. All we are called to doing is bearing witness to who Jesus is, and that comes through the Spirit. I'm going to finish with one statement. Now, this is me. This is from me. This isn't. Don't take this as gospel. This is my starting to really explore what the mission is and of the church. And there's a lot to be added, and there's probably, if I did it again tomorrow, a lot would come out, a lot would be added again. But I'm just going to read it to you, put it up on the screen. I believe that the mission of the church occurs under the infilling and direction of the Spirit. Its mission is to discern where the Spirit is active, what he is doing, and join in with the Spirit without getting in the way. It is to testify to the personhood of Jesus and his saving power, usually demonstrably, i.e. acting like Jesus, not just using words. Always in love, always without judgment, laying our lives down for others as Christ laid his down for us. In the midst of it all, we should expect to see love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control in abundance, and a quickness to apologize or forgive where it is not. Let's pray. Lord, I don't know that we will ever fully understand the work of your Spirit. Lord, but my prayer really is and has been for a long time, don't let us get in the way of what your Spirit wants to do. Don't let our doctrine, our dogma, our theology get in the way of what it is that your Spirit, you are wanting to do in our midst and with society. Lord, I believe you have come as an advocate, as somebody to work on behalf of God, but also actually on behalf of the person themselves. It's an advocate for the person who is journeying through with you. Lord, I pray that we would learn to listen, to identify what your Spirit is doing, Lord, but also so that we would be able to be imbibed by your Spirit ourselves. Lord, We can't see without your Spirit. We can't breathe without your Spirit. We can't live a full life without your Spirit. Lord, this Pentecost Sunday, Lord, I pray for everybody individually. But Lord, I pray for us as Christie's Beach Baptist Church. I pray for us as the Safe Center. And Lord, I ask for a fresh breath of your Holy Spirit with the power that came at Pentecost. Lord, I ask for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all, now and forever. Amen. So go in God's peace to love and serve the Lord through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.